Welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. I am not an expert, just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share here has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. Happy New Year! In our previous episode, we talked about the MS remodel. If anyone chose an aspect of their lives to renovate, I hope your renovation is off to a good start. If you're interested in sharing what you're doing, reach out. I'd love to listen. And if you're a Flock member, bring your thoughts to share at our next Flock meeting. Today, we're going to look at the healing power of joy. This is a fairly selfish endeavor, but based on the data for our shared MS community, I have a feeling I'm not alone in struggling to access joy. So I hope today's episode is as helpful for you as it has been for me. The bathroom remodel that we just completed mid-December sparked a lot of deep personal reflection, and it made me realize that the one thing I'm missing most and want to renovate in my life is daily joy. Momentarily, we'll look at the physical and mental benefits of cultivating daily joy so that we truly understand that experiencing joy is actually a human need and a condition that allows us to thrive even in the midst of challenges and hardships. But first, I'd like to share a little more of my reflection. And as we go, listen for aspects of relatability for your own life and how joy currently exists for you. I used to be a very joyful person. I had a lot of fun in my life. I worked really hard at a job I loved, and I played just as hard. I often laughed, planned social events, hosted parties, performed music publicly, explored new local places often, went on lots of road trips, enjoyed challenging myself in new ways, and had a very sunny disposition. Then, 10 years ago last December, when the symptoms I'd had on and off for decades stuck around and could no longer be dismissed, I earned my diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. In retrospect, that's when I lost my joy initially. And it makes sense. Everything I knew about my life seemingly changed in an instant. Maybe you can relate. After a few very difficult years, I recovered my joy to some extent, especially when we moved in 2018, which turned out to be an extremely joyous pivot. But despite some aspects of environmental stress reduction and the excitement of exploring a new place, joy largely remained elusive. Things like playing my guitar, singing, my explorative nature, and my playful spirit were very slow to bounce back. Even with the best intentions, as someone wired fairly positively, I struggled to access those joyful pathways with any semblance of regularity. I then experienced more loss of joy in 2020 with the challenges of the pandemic, which was then compounded by the loss of my golden retriever, my bestest best friend, Ivy. That was a devastating loss for me and a very dark time. At that point, looking back, I can see clearly that much of my ability to access joy died with her. Loss magnified less than 2 years later with the unexpected loss of my dear mother-in-law, Kathy. At that point, I had lost pretty much all urges to sing and play guitar. And fast forward to 2025, despite my best intentions and efforts, I was still continuing to struggle with purposefully cultivating the things that bring me daily joy. For my gratitude this episode, I want to shout out for my garden. This is one of the few ways I was able to continue experiencing reliable joy, and literally invest in my future happiness by tending to the garden and planting bulbs and other flowering plants. Beyond that, and occasional visits from friends and family, a few joyful trips here and there, joy was still a very small piece of my life compared to my life before MS. When I reflected deeper on my desire to infuse more joy in my life, I also realized that I've spent the last 10 years heavily focused on the serious aspects of living well with MS. I've learned so much, and also how much I still have left to learn. I love to learn, and I'm really proud of my efforts, and yet in my Shift Wheel app tool, where I track all 8 dimensions of wellness, plus a few more metrics that matter to me on a daily basis, the data patterns over time showed me just how much I was consistently deprioritizing or even withholding joy. After casually looking into the data around joy being a powerful healing tool, I decided I need to do something about it. So, 2026 will be my joy ride, where I will navigate life fueled by joy and paw prints. It will be a powerful way to continue to work on my overall health and wellness through the lens of joy. Joy doesn't just happen. We can't passively wait for it, but we can manufacture it in our own lives through intention, focus, and aligned daily action. I plan to spend this year focused on building joy in my life every single day and see how that feels and shifts things for me. This process started in early December with pushing pause and turning down the dial on my usual cerebral and comprehensive New Year planning process, and instead joyfully began exploring fun things I could do to build the foundation of my daily plans with my joyful heart rather than my task-oriented mind. Does any of my personal experience with deprioritization, withholding, or struggling to access joy resonate with you? Living with a condition like MS, turns out this struggle is something that many of us experience, and we might not even realize that the negative emotions we experience, such as stress, overwhelm, depression, anxiety, anhedonia, apathy, decision fatigue, and more, are also often a manifestation of a joy-starved life. Without further ado, let's dive into the data on joy. First, let's explore the impacts of joy on our physical and mental health. Joy and positive emotions in general have significant measurable impacts on both physical and mental health, which is particularly beneficial when managing a chronic condition like MS. Joy is often associated with a series of physiological and psychological changes that enhance our well-being. First, physiological benefits. Joy strengthens the immune system. Positive emotions like joy boost the production of antibodies and enhance the activity of natural killer cells, crucial for fighting infections. Joy reduces stress hormones. Joy and laughter help lower levels of cortisol, the stress hormone. Chronically elevated cortisol leads to inflammation and increases the risk and severity of chronic illnesses. Joy improves our cardiovascular health. Happier individuals have lower blood pressure and a reduced risk of heart disease. Joyful emotions promote better circulation. Joy releases positive neurotransmitters. The feeling of joy triggers the release of chemical messengers in the brain, including dopamine, which is associated with pleasure, serotonin, noradrenaline, and endorphins, the body's natural pain relievers. Joy reduces pain and promotes recovery. Studies show happier people experience less chronic pain and experience faster recovery after injuries or surgeries. Now, for some related quantitative data. Joy has a direct measurable impact on the cardiovascular and immune systems. Let's look first at heart health. A large population-based study found that positive affect, which is the scientific term for joy and happiness, was associated with a 22% decrease in the 10-year risk of incident of coronary heart disease. Longevity. Research published in the English Longitudinal Study of Aging followed nearly 4,000 participants and found that those with the highest levels of positive affect had a 35% reduction in mortality risk over 5 years. And immune strength. Individuals with a positive emotional style are significantly less likely to develop a cold after being exposed to a virus. In one study, participants with high levels of positive emotion had a lower risk of infection and reported fewer symptoms even when they did get sick. There are also psychological benefits for our mental health. Joy enhances mental resilience. Joy fosters optimism and a sense of purpose, which are essential for coping with life's challenges and building resilience. Joy reduces stress, depression, and anxiety. By lowering cortisol and prompting relaxation, joy directly reduces the risk of chronic stress and its associated mental health complications. Joy fosters positive behaviors. Joy activates the brain's reward centers, which reinforces positive behaviors and encourages individuals to seek out similar beneficial experiences in the future. Joy also strengthens our social connections. Happiness promotes stronger, more meaningful relationships, which provide vital emotional support, companionship, and a sense of belonging. Beyond general benefits of joy, there are MS-specific benefits of joy for our shared MS community. For individuals living with MS, the benefits of cultivating joy and positive well-being are centered around better coping skills, emotional balance, and resilience over time. First, joy counteracts the effects of stress and inflammation. As we know, MS feeds on stress. MS symptoms and flares can be triggered or worsened by stress and a negative mood. By lowering stress hormones like cortisol, joy helps the body move out of a fight-or-flight state, mitigating negative health changes associated with chronic stress. The anti-inflammatory effects of positive emotions like joy are beneficial in managing a progressive condition characterized by chronic inflammation. 2, joy enhances our emotional well-being and coping skills. MS can lead to a cycle of loss, grief, isolation, and an increased risk of clinical depression and anxiety. Intentionally focusing on joy and happiness can help shift the mindset from focusing on what has been lost to what one still has. Increased resilience. Positive psychological interventions help people with chronic conditions like MS find strategies to support ongoing happiness, even in the face of adversity. This promotes greater resilience and emotional competence. Improved motivation for self-care. Emotional well-being influences the motivation to care for one's health, including the desire to exercise and maintain a healthy diet, which are very important for MS management and progression-slowing efforts over time. 3, joy supports our overall subjective well-being. Fostering well-being and happiness can help prevent and mitigate mental health challenges that often accompany disabilities. It can enhance our participation in a wide array of life roles and support better self-care, all of which align with rehabilitation goals for MS. In essence, while joy may not cure or stop MS progression, it provides a powerful natural tool to improve our quality of life, strengthen our resilience, and support our many body systems that are often challenged by the disease and the stress of living with a chronic and progressive illness. There are some important considerations for our community and the aligned qualitative data. For those of us living with MS, joy isn't just about mood. It directly correlates with symptom management and our quality of life. Fatigue and depression reduction, for example. A pilot study on a 5-week positive psychology intervention for MS patients showed a statistically significant improvement in vitality, fatigue levels, and a significant decrease in depression scores. Sleep quality. Implementing happiness training programs for MS patients has been shown to significantly improve sleep quality scores. And resilience. Positive emotions in MS patients act as a buffer. Data shows that those who experience more daily joy develop higher levels of ego resilience, which helps them rebound from the physical and emotional setbacks of the disease. We can look at the biology of joy and how it works. And the reason we see these numbers is due to specific chemical and physiological changes. The lower inflammation, for example. A UC Berkeley study found that experiencing awe and joy is linked to lower levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines, specifically interleukin-6. Chronic inflammation is a key driver in MS, so reducing these markers is physically protective. We can also look at it in terms of hormonal shift. Joy triggers the release of dopamine, serotonin, and endorphins while simultaneously reducing cortisol, the stress hormone. High cortisol levels are known to suppress the immune system and worsen MS flares. The broaden and build effect. Quantifiable data suggests that joy expands a person's thought-action repertoire. This means that joyful people are more physically able and likely to engage in healthy behaviors, such as exercise and social connection, which further improve our health outcomes. So, now that we know how joy can actually help us improve the quality of our lives in both physical and mental health, let's explore practical ways we can cultivate joy. Joy isn't just a fleeting emotion. It's a skill nurtured through conscious effort. And while there's truly endless ways to do this, I encourage you to choose practices that speak to your heart. I'll share some that I've embedded in my personal plan for this year in case they might interest you or spark more ideas for yourself. Number one, develop a daily gratitude practice. Keep a gratitude journal. Spend a few minutes each day taking note of 3 to 5 things I'm genuinely thankful for. Focusing on the good things, no matter how small, shifts my brain's attention away from negative thoughts, maintaining focus on what's good. Express appreciation. Make it a point to verbally thank someone, a friend, family member, caregiver, for something they did. Expressing appreciation strengthens social bonds and activates the reward centers in both my brain and theirs. For more gratitude ideas, check out episode 4. Number 2, seek connection and compassion. For me, I will be nurturing my network. Spend quality time with people who lift my spirits. Strong social connections are one of the most reliable predictors of long-term happiness. Engage with more fountains and less drains. For more information on fountains and drains, visit episode 5. I plan to practice acts of kindness. Performing selfless acts for others boosts my feelings of self-worth and purpose. This is often referred to as the helper's high, which releases feel-good endorphins. For more about random acts of kindness, visit episode 52. Mindful listening. I want to give my full, undivided attention to others. Being truly present in a conversation deepens my connection and enhances mutual positive feelings. I want to put that phone down. Number 3, I want to incorporate a mindful movement. I want to find joy in movement. Regular physical activity releases endorphins and reduces stress, regardless of the intensity. I plan to focus on gentle, adaptive activities I enjoy, such as Qigong, dancing, or light stretching. I plan to continue with neuromuscular physical therapy to reteach my muscles how to move properly, how to relax, how to hold less tension, and reduce their spasticity. I plan to spend time in nature. Research consistently links exposure to natural environments to reduced stress, improved mood, and higher levels of subjective well-being. Even sitting by a window with a view of greenery can help. Daily garden time in my sit spot and my morning awe walk will happen daily. For more about the healing power of awe, check out episode 85. Number 4, I plan to engage in flow activities. First, I need to find my flow. Engage in activities where I become so absorbed that I lose track of time. This flow state can come from hobbies like painting, knitting, gardening, or listening to or playing music. The flow state minimizes our self-criticism and maximizes our focus and enjoyment. I plan to savor positive moments. When something good happens, stop, acknowledge it, celebrate it, and deliberately savor the moment. This helps cement the positive emotion in my memory. Don't forget to write it down. Revisiting this list ignites more joy through reliving the moment. I also plan to be like water. Per the 2026 Modern Mystic Society Almanac guidance, this is a year to mimic water. Flow, release, trust the journey. Don't get stuck in eddies. Welcome transformative tears. Use riverbanks to instill positive boundaries. Life is more about the journey than the destination. And number 5, let them and let the universe do its magic. For let them, I plan to use Mel Robbins' Let Them tools in tandem with my worry and intention box to let go of things outside my locus of control. I also plan to celebrate the magic. Monthly, I will revisit my intention and worry box and celebrate what's resolved. I will give the rest more time to shift and trust that it will in divine timing. To identify ways I want to manifest daily joy this year, I chose several categories where I'm currently lacking. I won't do each of these every day, but I did create a weekly tracker so that I make sure I complete a healthy mix of these ideas every week this year. The first category for me is music and creativity, singing, guitar, and crafts. I plan to sing at least one full song at the top of my lungs every day, in the car, shower, while cleaning, or making dinner. For my guitar, I want to try to do a 10-minute jam. Commit to playing my guitar for just 10 minutes, learn or relearn a new chord, or a short riff each week. For crafts, I want to try micro crafts, keeping a small box of supplies with colored paper, glue stick, markers, highlighters, and I want to make one tiny thing daily, even if it's just a paper flower, a doodle, or a decorated post-it. I want to also do some journaling. I want to do a joy snapshot, every evening writing down 3 specific moments of joy I experienced that day. Use the Notes app on my phone to record times I laughed so hard I cried this year. Reading. A joy book break. Read one chapter or article purely for fun and pleasure, not for knowledge or work. If you know good books, send them my way. The second category for me is in nature and gardening. For gardening, I want to do a daily patrol. Spend 5 minutes outside in the morning before 10 a.m. appreciating something specific, a new bud, a healthy leaf, the smell of the soil. I plan to tend to one small task, deadhead a plant, weed one area. I'd like to do a nature walk, a sensory stroll. Take a walk with the intention of using only one sense. Today might be sound, listening to the birds or the wind. Tomorrow might be sight, noticing the colors. Another day might be something else. Indoor plants. I want to do a plant pep talk. Give my indoor plants a little mist or quick wipe down while talking to them. I also plan to add more plants to my new primary bathroom, entryway, and family room. My next category is fun with my partner Eric and our doodles. With Eric, a daily 15-minute date. committing to just 15 minutes of uninterrupted screen-free time to connect. Maybe over tea, sharing our joy snapshots, or playing a game, even simply sitting on the patio together. Spontaneity. Yes. Once a month, indicate a day to saying yes to each other's fun, spontaneous suggestions, within reason, of course. I plan to ask Eric to invite me to go somewhere without telling me where we're going. This is important because it helps me let go and enjoy the not knowing instead of panicking to plan for every possibility as I am prone to doing. With the dogs, it means dedicated playtime. At least 5 minutes of their favorite game, tug, chase, fetch, where I am fully present and not multitasking. Another reminder to myself to put that phone down. And doggy discovery, a new route adventure. I want to take the dudes on new short routes in the neighborhood or to a new park or trail to stimulate our senses in new ways. I also took some time to research ways I could inject joy into routine tasks I have to do. Things that sometimes aren't necessarily joyous, like chores and meal prep. And the goal here is to shift my mindset from task completion to joyful ritual. For example, for cleaning, I want to do some musical chore challenges where I create hyper-specific playlists for one chore. For example, Mop Mania or Vacuum Vibe. I must finish the chore before the last song ends. And bonus, dancing while I work. And this mindset shift is from burden to physical performance. For laundry, I want to make it a sense and sensory treat. Use a luxurious scented essential oil that I genuinely love on my wool dryer balls, maybe vetiver. Focus on the sensory pleasure of folding or hanging up warm, clean fabric. And the mindset shift here is from folding or hanging a pile to a sensory reward. The dishes. I can play a podcast or listen to an audiobook. And if I only allow myself to listen to it while I am washing, loading, or unloading dishes, I may even start looking forward to dishes. The mindset shift here is from the grind to exclusive entertainment time. Tidying up. I want to play a game called Find 5 Fun Things. When tidying a room, quickly find 5 items that bring me genuine joy. A photo, a trinket, a smooth stone, and give them a place of honor before I put away the clutter. The mindset shift here is from sorting a mess to appreciating the treasures. I also have a goal of more decluttering this year, so I wanted to find specific ways to infuse joy into the donations and organizing process. For prepping donations, I want to do a gratitude goodbye. As I put each item into the donation box, quickly say, or think what I appreciated about it and who I hope it will help next. And this is a mindset shift from purging to mindful gratitude. Filing paperwork or dealing with the mail, which is a chore for me. The color code ceremony. Use fun colored pens, highlighters, or stickers to organize. Make the process visually appealing and tactilely enjoyable. Play upbeat music. File things immediately that need to be saved. Shred or recycle immediately rather than building a pile first. This mindset shift is from boring task to creative color therapy, from stacks to zen horizontal surfaces. For general prepping and administration, like meal prep, I want to engage in chef's tasting. As I cook, take time to genuinely taste and savor each ingredient. Be a mindful chef, not a rushed preparer. And this mindset shift is from assembly line to culinary experience. Commuting. I want to try the joyful observer. Using my driving time to observe only joyful things, a great sunset, a funny bumper sticker, a beautiful front yard, or the kindness of a crossing guard. I can play music I can sing along to, and I can breathe. This mindset shift is from traffic stress to present observation. For inspiration this year, I'd like to continue with my joy jar ritual. Every few days, write down one of my joy snapshots on a small piece of paper and put it into a decorated jar. At the end of the year, I can empty the jar and celebrate all the joy I manifested. And this mindset shift is from fleeting moment to captured memory. I wrote specific organizational goals for different areas of our home into my plan, and the good news is I've already accomplished one of the areas. Here's a fun category I added that I want to try to do every single day: joyful clothing or dopamine dressing. The way I dress and the energy I project through my clothes and accessories can profoundly impact my mood. It's wearable joy. This is about using color, texture, and personal meaning to boost my mood, even if I'm just staying home that day. The joyful color of the day challenge. Make sure I'm wearing two or more of my favorite colors each day, which tend to be blue, green, and purple, and a power piece accessory that brings me joy. I want to take into account sensory treats. Focus on clothes that feel good. Joy isn't just visual, it's tactile. Donate anything I encounter along the way that doesn't feel good on my skin. Fun footwear. Even if I wear house shoes, make them joyful. Bright slippers, socks with funny patterns, or colorful sneakers reserved for home use. Wearable memories. Integrate clothes that hold happy memories. A favorite concert tee, a colorful dress from a great vacation, one of my grandmother's scarf pins, and so on. When I wear them, I carry a piece of that joy with me. I'll post a couple pictures of my early dopamine dressing outfits so far on our Patreon page, just for fun and accountability. While cultivating joy is an inside job, it doesn't have to just involve me. So I also created a monthly family joyride calendar. I won't share all of these here, but I'll share a few just so you get the idea. In January, I chose a theme called Cozy Creation, and we had a winter nesting craft day. This could have been baking, painting, building a project indoors. But this weekend, we're making a recipe created by a friend who is a gourmet chef: ginger butternut squash soup with chili crisp. We also did this one in December to try it on for size. We collaborated on Cuban beans and rice burritos. We batch cooked and made 24 burritos that we could freeze and eat this month. Yum. In February, we'll do a love letter treat swap between us and our dogs. In March, it's scent and sniff. It's an urban nature exploration day where we take the dogs to a brand new park or explore a new nature trail. I created a different project for every month that we can do together to manifest joy together. I also made a simple family joyride tracker full of these ideas so I can track our completion and also record our favorite moments of each monthly activity. I next explored ways to spread joy and the ripple effect. The best part of a personal joyride is that it often has a ripple effect on the world around me. I have several ideas here that I plan to do that I can share. The compliment mission. Give at least one genuine, specific, and non-appearance-based compliment to a stranger or acquaintance every day. For example, I love your unique perspective on that. Or, what a beautiful way to think about that challenge. A thank you note blitz. I plan to keep a stack of small blank cards or sticky notes and write one quick, sincere thank you note to someone, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, or a service worker, each week. I plan to write Yelp and Google reviews to help support local small businesses I enjoy. A pay it forward micro act. Look for unexpected ways to brighten people's day. Pay for the coffee of the person behind me. Leave a book in our court mini library with a kind note. Or let someone cut in front of me in traffic with a wave and a smile. Donate things I love but just don't use on our local Buy Nothing page to people who will give them a new life. And share my creations. Share a picture of my daily microcraft, a clip of my singing or guitar playing, a photo of a beautiful garden moment with a friend or on social media. Sharing my joy doubles it, ripple it, and ripple it again. My last category, since so many people I love live far away, is infusing joy in long-distance relationships. Maintaining a strong, joyful connection despite distance requires intentional, consistent effort. Focusing on activities that bridge the physical gap through shared sensory experience and memory can help us feel closer. One idea I plan to do is a shared sensory experience. This could be listening to the same song or the same tea or scent. So choose a song, album, or scent you both love. Agree to light a candle with that scent, savor the tea, or listen to that song at the same time each day or week. When we talk, we can connect over the shared sensory experience. Or we can do a virtual tea or coffee date. Schedule just a 15-minute video call where the only task is to sip a hot drink together. No heavy topics, just sharing the view from the window or a tiny funny story. Mail a comfort box. Once a month, mail a box containing things that bring someone joy and that they can use, like a specific gourmet coffee, a new cozy pair of patterned socks, a funny, easy-to-read magazine, or a small craft item. I did this for a friend in December and for my mom before her knee replacement surgery. 2, memory and legacy joy. Photo storytelling. I'm currently busy sorting through old family and friend photos. I'm committed to calling and walking them through one old family photo each week. Ask them to tell you the story behind the people and the moment. This helps them access happy memories and gives me good new stories. Voice memo legacy. Instead of just calling, send short, fun voice messages or even brief videos of the dogs being goofy throughout the week. They can listen to my voice and laugh whenever they want. Use SlyDial if I want to be sure it goes to voicemail. The recipe relay. Ask them to teach me one family recipe over a video call. Watching me attempt the recipe and perhaps failing slightly will bring us both joy, and I'll be preserving a family tradition. I hope some of these ideas are giving you examples of ways you can infuse more joy in your life this year. Before we go, there's just a couple more things to consider in terms of cultivating joy that help me ensure I'm living joyfully every day. Totems. Every year, I choose a handful of totems or physical things that will be constant visual reminders of my yearly intention. Since I'm a visual learner, these totems help keep me focused. This year, for joy, my totems include my beautiful mountain forest Zoom background screen, a sacred spot on the patio to access my daily 2026 Mystics Almanac over my morning tea or coffee, my sunflower ripple ring created by a dear lapidarian friend, and my daily joyful jewelry and dopamine dressing. These visual reminders are powerful ways to remind me every day why what I'm doing this year is so important to me. I also create a new email signature every year that aligns with my yearly intention. This year's custom signature features a road and has a picture of our two pups driving in our truck. It says, 2026, Joyride. Joy isn't my destination, it's how I choose to travel. Fueled by paw prints and joy. Every time I send an email, this colorful signature is a joyful visual reminder to prioritize joy. Email me if you want to see it. Reading and journaling and learning. Every year, I choose a learning focus related to my yearly intention. This year, it will primarily be focused on joy. Some titles I'll be exploring. That Sounds Fun by Annie F. Downs. The Better Every Day Inside Than Out Daily Journal. A somatic release course through the virtual Ohm Institute, and twice weekly neuromuscular physical therapy. I will also be reading The 4 Habits of Joy-Filled People by Marcus Warner, Slowing Down to the Speed of Joy by Matthew Kelly, and I'm sure I'll organically come across a few more along the way. If you know of other joyful books that you'd recommend I read this year, please share. I'd love to hear them. Work focus. Every year, I also choose an area of my work that relates to my yearly intention. This year, I'm shifting things on my calendar to ensure that most of my time and energy is spent on things that bring me joy. For work, that means collaborating with Dr. Peyrovi on several exciting new projects, one of which is a collaboration also with Dr. Jacqueline. I'll also be continuing my efforts with the Stanford Biodesign Fellows to develop solutions for MS heat sensitivity. Stay tuned. Our next episode will be a lot more about just that. Speaking of this podcast, for Misunderstood, I will be focusing episodes on what gives me the most joy, which is primarily highlighting incredible people in our shared MS community doing amazing things. In addition to having joyful things to focus on, I am also intentionally tapering off a few things that don't bring me consistent joy and use up a lot of my time. Lastly, I plan to participate in the PQ program, Launchpad, for coaches that starts today. I'm committed to continuing to offer PQ mental fitness to people in our community for at least one more year, since this program is incredibly helpful in supporting us as we navigate all aspects of living well with MS. My media focus. Every year, I also try to align my media habits with my intention. You've already heard me say, put down my phone a few times. I want to be more present. I don't need to respond to everyone immediately. I also plan to do a digital detox of some of the sites I follow. It's important to me, for example, to deliberately follow the full spectrum of news sites so that I can be fully educated by everything going on in my state, country, and our world. I still plan to do that, but overall, I will be consuming and lamenting over the entire spectrum of news less and pick the sites that feel right for me while also maintaining awareness of confirmation bias. It's more enjoyable for me, for example, to read my news than watch it. I'm also unfollowing Facebook groups and Substacks that don't bring me joy, and following new ones that do. I'm rewatching some of my all-time favorite shows. We started that over the holidays. And in the new year, we're diving into a rewatch of Ted Lasso and the Fraggle Rock reboot. These joyful shows, when watched later in the evening before bed, put me in a great mood and make me laugh. I also plan to seek out new music that brings me joy and attend local shows with artists that bring me joy, like Puddles and Weird Al. I may even write a few songs myself. We'll see where the joyful path takes me. Community focus. I try to find a few new places nearby that are aligned with my annual intention. This year, that means finding new outdoor spaces to explore with our pups, restaurants, and short-distance travel destinations. I also have a personal goal of finding a nearby new favorite mountain escape that we can visit more regularly, since my all-time favorite mountain region is an 8-hour drive. Home. To bring this full circle, I also plan to thoroughly enjoy our newly renovated bathrooms. I'm going to take at least 2 bubble baths every week in my new soaker tub. I'm slowly decorating my new bathroom with things that bring me joy. So far, I've added 2 milk glass vases with wool flowers. I have 1 vase from each of my grandmothers. I cherish them and enjoy reminiscing about all the joy these delightful humans brought and continue to bring into my life each day. I added 2 glass bluebirds. One was my grandmother's and one belonged to my beloved mother-in-law, Kathy. They are cheerful reminders of these 2 strong women who impacted my life in incredibly positive ways. Eric surprised me with a new Google Home Hub with a screen so I can listen to joyful music while I soak or watch the Sharks game or YouTube. I repurposed some cute canisters to hold my bubble bath, bath salts, and essential oils. And one new purchase for the space is a Northern Lights projector that creates a gorgeous, peaceful, soothing, and joyful place to relax. I'll post a couple of pictures on Patreon for anyone curious about this personal sanctuary I'm building. I'm so grateful for all our bathroom renovation taught me. I wasn't previously aware of just how far I had gotten away from joy. I hope hearing a bit about my joyride plan for 2026 has been helpful and maybe even inspiring. Has this inspired you to want to come along for the ride? If you're interested in any aspects of my 2026 joyride plan that I shared today, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to share if it helps you. My hope today is that we all, 1, acknowledge that joy is an essential lever of happiness and health. 2, that we consider all the ways that cultivating joy positively impacts our long-term physical and mental health outcomes. And 3, that we remember that joy rarely just happens on its own. If we passively wait for it, we likely won't experience enough joy to experience its many positive outcomes. Joy is something, however, that we can deliberately cultivate through our choices and actions every single day. To continue our conversation, you are welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. The next meeting is this Saturday, January 10th, after taking last Saturday off for the holiday. Flock members, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. Before we go, I also want to invite you all to join me for the January Myelin Room virtual dance party with Dr. Susan Peyrovi. These monthly events typically take place on the second Saturday of each month, but January's event is on Saturday, January 17th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for 30 minutes. You can sign up to receive the monthly Zoom link and email reminder at drsusanpeyrovi.com. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be joyful and be well.